Here this morning with a very special opportunity for our listeners, and we are joined on the air live via phone with U.S. Senator Jerry Moran. Senator, good morning.
Good morning to you.
Brandon is also here, and we're delighted that we could square away some time to get you in here as your terrific staff was able to arrange this. And boy, this has been a big week for Senator Moran with a couple of bills that you have been directly involved with being signed by the president. Congratulations.
Thank you. At a time in which the American people see very few legislative accomplishments, and I certainly admit that when it comes to the biggest issues that our country faces, there's gridlock and divisiveness in Washington, D.C. and perhaps across the country. But we've had some successes, and I'm happy to talk about having a success. But more importantly, I want to make certain that our listeners, their family members, and others know that we are paying attention and trying to be helpful, want to provide resources to those who are challenged by mental health issues and potential suicide. Most recently, when I was in Manhattan a week or so ago, I visited Pawnee Mental Health and had a conversation about this. We were successful, or they were successful, I should say, in receiving a federal grant to help them expand their capabilities of providing mental health services through technology, through telehealth, to other counties within their region, within their organization. And again, Kansas is such a rural state that we've got to find more innovative ways to meet the needs of people. I also, since we scheduled this radio interview, I was reading one of the military publications, and the indication is that suicide is up among active members of the military. Army leadership was voicing concern about the significant increases in suicide since March. And, of course, March is that time in which we relate to the beginning of COVID, or at least the experiences that people began having in regard to COVID. And that is, we have increasing active military suicide, increasing active law enforcement suicide, increasing young people suicide, increasing farmer suicide, and increasing veteran suicide. That tells me that suicide is becoming a more common circumstance for people and their families, and we need to do more. The piece of legislation, I'll be happy to talk more about any of this, but the piece of legislation, really two of them, I became the chairman of the Senate Veterans Committee in January, and our number one priority was to pass legislation that we hope will be effective in combating suicide and increasing mental health resources. John Tester, who is a Democrat senator from Montana, and I introduced the legislation. Our committee passed the legislation unanimously. It passed the Senate unanimously. It passed the House unanimously. And this past weekend, the president signed the bill into law. Most importantly, it is an opportunity to put resources into communities across Kansas so that the local American Legion, or VFW, or Vietnam Veterans, or Pawnee Mental Health, or other organizations can access Department of Veteran Affairs dollars to create a mental health and anti-suicide program in their community. We all live a long distance from the VA, and we need resources closer to home. The second one, sponsored by about four of us, three Republicans, three Democrats, 988. And that's the opportunity for us to have a three-digit number to call for suicide prevention. I would be very quick to say that number hasn't taken effect yet, and there is an 800 number, 800-273-8255, 800-273-TALK, is a suicide prevention line, but we're in the process now of the FCC implementing a three-digit 988 number that will be available in the future to give people a more direct and quick response, an opportunity to talk to somebody about suicide and therefore hopefully prevent more suicide.
Senator, I had a caller earlier this morning. A listener wanted to have you stress something to the public. He is a Vietnam veteran, and he said it was too late for him, but when you have veterans' benefits that are available to you, to take the initiative and get those locked in as soon as you possibly can. Do you have any comments on that?
Absolutely. The veteran is doing a very good service for his fellow veterans. And there's a number of things that over the years in which if you were in the VA, your benefits continued, but if you hadn't signed up, the benefits were diminished. And so we don't know what the changes are going to be by law. In most instances, it's changes of policy at the Department of Veterans Affairs. And as a result, some veterans receive a certain benefit or a level of certain benefit, and others don't, just because they were not signed up, were not enrolled in the VA. So, this is certainly a suicide prevention issue as well. What is in the works, both through technology and through individual contact, is to have, when someone leaves active service, they automatically are connected with the Department of Veterans Affairs, and the goal here is a seamless transition from being active duty to being a part of the Department of Veterans Affairs, or engaged in the opportunities that the VA provides, educational benefits, financial benefits, health care, the basics. And so we have too many veterans, let me say it this way, we have too many active duty members of our military who, when they're done, are ready to move on and fail to get the enrolled, and therefore the services that the Department of Veterans Affairs can provide them. And the goal here is to have the health records. This goes back to mental health and suicide prevention, is to have the medical records, the deployment records, all transferred from the Department of Defense to the Department of Veterans Affairs, so there is no gap in the opportunity for veterans to be served by the Department of Veterans Affairs. Their records follow them from active duty.
Well, there's an awful lot in these two bills, to unpack here. And, we certainly are grateful, Senator Moran, that you would take some time to visit with us about this. How difficult is it to get together across the aisles in a state of bipartisanship in today's crazy political climate to come to, doing good work for the people of the United States?
Well, in the time that I've been an elected official, I think it has, maybe I'm becoming older, becoming aged, and so things look better in the past, but it does seem to me that the dysfunction of our political institutions and the divisiveness of our citizens is greater today. I don't know, people often ask, what do we do to fix it? I mean, I'm of the view that we have, we each watch our own media. We get our news from the sources that we generally agree with. We are involved in social media. There are those who, I'm convinced, and we saw this week a report from our intelligence services, that Iran and Russia are working hard to pull us apart, divide us, and create doubt in regard to the outcome of the election, its validity. There are just things in our lives today that make it more difficult. I'm working on a conversation, a speech, a position in which I want, regardless of the outcome of this election, we need Congress to work, and we need members of Congress to work together. In the absence of that, Congress doesn't meet the needs of the American people. When we don't do our job, then the authority seems to shift to the executive branch. We're losing our freedoms and liberties because Congress is failing to do its job. And one of the things that I think would be most important is we, over time, perhaps because of the divisiveness, but I think it's a contributing factor to it, is we have eliminated the significantly reduced the role of committees in Congress, where decisions are made by the leadership, by Chuck Schumer and Mitch McConnell, and we end up voting on bills that have never been through a committee. And if we all had our chance to amend and to make changes to a bill, to debate and discuss them in committee, we'd have a better product, and one that we maybe all could buy in, and one that kind of eliminates the rough edges on both sides. And we need to do our process and our work different in Congress. So I'm admitting to something I've said to my constituents. They often say, what do you need to do to fix the problems in Washington, D.C.? And reaction has been, well, it's a pretty divided country, too. We often reflect our constituents. But I'm also now coming to the realization that I have work to do to try to get Congress to do its job. And by that, in part, I mean committees doing their work and not leaving the decisions of what we're going to vote on and what it's going to look like to just a handful of Senate or congressional leaders.
Senator, I'm curious. This is Brandon Peoples. I'm curious, are you optimistic that we'll see another stimulus here before the election, or do you think that's coming possibly after?
Brandon, the election is now seemingly so close, and yet in my view so far away. Dave and I were talking about advertising on radio and media, and I understand that is significant, but as a voter, I'm anxious for the decisions to be made. I would say that I doubt that, I'm pretty certain that nothing will happen as far as passage of legislation. Negotiations are ongoing between the White House and particularly Speaker Pelosi. I think the president is interested in, quote, a deal, and but I doubt that it is something that is agreed to prior to the election. I'm of the view that we need a phase four, that there are things, businesses and employees that have slipped through the cracks. I also think that we need to have significant focus on the health and well-being of people. Our economy will not recover when people are fearful of being out and about, when their health is in jeopardy. And so while we have a lot of opportunities to try to, in our own ways, through social distancing and masking, reduce the spread of the virus, I'd like to see Congress do more in regard to testing, in regard to vaccine, particularly the logistics of how it will be distributed and manufactured and distributed, how we need PPE, the personal protection equipment. Certainly we see in our nursing homes, assisted living, senior care, still in hospitals, law enforcement, first responders, and schools. There are things that we ought to do. I would say that I am much less interested in voting for legislation, the magnitude, the cost, expense, the expanse of what we have passed previously. But I still think that we ought to deal with the health care issues, and we ought to deal with the businesses and their employees who have slipped through the cracks. And by that, I generally am thinking about bars and restaurants, hotels, motels, commercial property, retail space, venues, theaters. We have a lot of challenges in our economy yet with a segment. And this week we tried to pass an extension of the Paycheck Protection Program, that SBA loan guarantee that can become a grant. And we were unsuccessful in getting it done in the Senate, but it has broad support. And perhaps once the politics of the election is over, and I hate saying that, but it does seem to have effect here. Once the politics of the election is over, I'm hopeful that we can do more in a much more fiscally responsible way and a much more targeted way.
Senator, we're extremely grateful that you could take some time today to visit with us. And I think it's great that a great service that you're also providing our residents and our listeners here on KMAN. One final quick question. We just have all we need is a quick answer. Is being grandpa to Lane, give you some sense of balance in your world?
You know, I think 2020 has been a terrible year. I'm going to have a caveat. A terrible year with COVID and its consequences, the health and well-being, the death of many of our fellow Kansans, the politics and the divisiveness that we just talked about. 2020 is not a year that I think we look back and we'll say this was a wonderful time, except Rob and I became grandparents for the first time with a new grandson. And secondly, our other daughter is due in November, expected to deliver a granddaughter. So 2020 provides Rob and I with that thing that people at our age always begin to look forward to. And with Lane already in our lives and in our presence, I can see why people talk about the joy of being a grandparent.
Senator Brand, thank you very much. Appreciate your work in Washington on behalf of Kansans. And thanks for your comments, and good luck here through surviving through the remainder of this election season.
Brandon, you're very welcome. Thank you. My next call and only other radio interview today is with a guy named Brady Bauman, who you may know.
Ah, very much.
Yeah. You may have trained.
May have. I hired the guy here, so. All right.
I'll be talking to him on Arc City Radio before long.
All right. Senator Brand, thank you much. Have a great day and a good weekend.
Thank you both.
Yep, pleasure.
And we're extremely grateful that we had that opportunity with Senator Brand.